This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our actions and express through them. Our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. In the development where I live, there are several different buildings, and I park behind a building, my building, and then I walk up this little side street, and there's another building that faces me this way, my neighbor's building, as I just walk around. And they've been doing some construction work on the back of their building, putting up enclosing this little porch, and they're putting up new walls. They're putting in a new window, and they just finished the window about a week ago. So from the beginning, I'm walking, and it's not level. It's not level, and it's really bugging me. So it's just about an inch off on one side, so I'm going to have to get over it because it's already in, and there's concrete all over. And I didn't notice in time, and I probably wouldn't have said anything. But it's like one of those things. I don't know how many of you do this, but if you're in a room or somewhere and there's a picture that's off, do any of you straighten it? Am I the only one, really? So, yeah, so that bugs me too, so I just kind of straighten it. And today, we're talking about being centered and being grounded in truth. And I thought a great example of that would be a plumb line. So I'm going to need some help. Paul said he would come forward. This has to be straight. If you can't see, feel free to look around or stand up or whatever you need to do. We're going to straighten it here. All right, so you know how a plumb line works, right? Yes? Who doesn't? Everybody knows. Okay, good. So I'm going to let it fall to about here, and then lock it in. And who can help? Jasmine, would you come help me? So I'm going to hold it at the bottom. Have you ever done this plumb line before?
No.
No, okay. Oh, good, an honest soul here. All right, so I'm going to hold the bottom. And what you do is you pull it out like a rubber band and let it snap. All right, so go ahead and do that. There you go. Thanks. You did it. All right, let's lean it back. So the plumb line, I think I was holding it wrong. See, I told you it bugs me. So that plumb line gives you a straight edge to be able to know then how to line up the wallpaper like I used to do like 25 years ago. I remember using a plumb line and doing exactly that on the paper, on the wall, so that the wallpaper then would go up and be straight, right? It's the true vertical line. Jesus Christ's plumb line is the Holy Spirit, especially in the beginning of his ministry. So in today's gospel, the Holy Spirit was moving in a powerful way. But I'd like to set the scene a little bit. There were three ways the Holy Spirit is already working in his life. First of all, his baptism, right? Just a few weeks ago, we talked about that. So the Holy Spirit came from the clouds, fell on him like a dove, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit lured him into the wilderness, and he resisted the temptations of the wilderness. He would resist power and glory and possessions. And then again, coming out of there, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He'd been in the desert for 40 days, and today's gospel starts just shortly after that. He comes out of the wilderness, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he travels all through Galilee. And word had gotten out about him. They were clamoring to see him. They loved his preaching. They loved his teaching. And then he makes his way to his hometown, to Nazareth. And that's what happened today. So it started out, if you recall, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes into the synagogue because it would have been the normal thing for him to do. And the synagogue, on a regular day, he had grown up there. It would have been normal for him to go there with his family. You go in, Some of the key components would be they would have recited what was called the Great Shema, which includes love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. They would have all been facing Jerusalem, saying prayers together. They would all be united in saying amen with the prayers. There would have been a reading from the scrolls of the Torah and of the prophets. There would be a sermon and a blessing. So it's a normal day. Jesus walks in, and he was a man that stood up to read. They always chose it on the day of somebody to read. He stands up. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah, and he turns to what would be his mission statement. And he stands up and declares that he's filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to release the oppressed, to give sight to the blind, and to declare the Jubilee year of the Lord. And so they're listening, and this would have been from Isaiah. They would have heard this quite a few times. They all would have been used to that. But then, what was an ordinary day turned very extraordinary because he sat down and he gave his first sermon in one sentence. And he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In your hearing. Can you imagine? He was the hometown guy. It would be like one of us standing up and saying that we were the Messiah. Because basically, that's what he was saying. And he was saying those were his marching orders. That's what he was not fulfilling in the future or in the past, but today. Listen to how Brian McLaren describes it in his book, We Make the Road by Walking. Jesus didn't say the scripture had been fulfilled. He didn't say it was partially fulfilled and would be in the future. He said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And this gospel is not just for a few, but for all humankind. And the crowd flips from proud to concerned to disturbed to furious. Because what happens next is that they really don't want to hear that that's also their marching orders, to take care of people and to look out for other people, to care for the poor and help to heal and help to let the oppressed go free. And they didn't want to hear it. And they end up, next week's gospel, we'll get ahead a little bit. Next week's gospel, they want to cast him out of the synagogue and throw him over a cliff. They really do. And he escapes in the crowd. And he gets away. They couldn't handle it. But he could, because he knew that that plumb line was what the Holy Spirit was guiding him to do. So if you think of it like a cross, he gets his direction from the Holy Spirit, and then he goes out to take it this way. So you've got this vertical line and the horizontal line. He receives from on high and then tells them that that's what we're to do as well, to take it out and to do the work of Christ in the world. We, too, are called to do this. And it's not a matter, and I'd like you to really hear this, it's not a matter of us making sure that we're doing enough things and being good enough and holding up, you know. It's not like that. It's the opposite way. It's the opposite of that. That we, knowing that God has something for us to do, that we act on it. That we just notice who needs the help. So it's this subtle little shift. It's not about being good enough. Because as we've talked about again and again and again and again, you cannot earn God's love. There's nothing you can do for God not to love you. This is just about responding to that love in this beautiful way for all to see. And that's basically what Jesus was trying to tell them and to incite them to do as well. We have a story that came to me this past week from somebody that comes to Unplugged who would like to remain nameless. And this man works in Lake Worth, and he works in a shop. And he said that he, for the last several months, he'd be walking into work, and he would be greeted by this homeless guy walking by. His name was Benny. And he would say hello to him, and he would talk to him and say, "Hi, how you doing?" And Benny would be, you know, coming by. And then he noticed for about 3 or 4 weeks before Christmas that he wasn't seeing Benny anymore. And so he was kind of wondering about that. Well, come Christmas Eve, this man is at home. His mom is visiting from up north. He's there with his wife. And he said, "You know," he said, "it's been on my heart, really on my heart from God," which means from the Holy Spirit, right? Something is really coming to him, "to find Benny and to give him some money." He said, "You know, no, we're not supposed to be giving homeless people money directly," but he was led to do that on Christmas Eve. Well, he hadn't seen him for a month. So his wife says, "Well, let's go look for him." And his mom said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." So he says, "That'd be like a needle in a haystack to find this guy," but they all pile in the car and they drive into Lake Worth and it's nighttime. And so they get a little frustrated. They're not seeing Benny. And then he says, "It'd be a miracle if we see Benny tonight." Turn the corner and Benny comes out. He got out of the car, had the money in his hand. He went over to Benny, shook his hand. Benny clasped his hand, shook it, didn't even look at the money. He could feel it. He took it. And he said, "Thank you." And our friend from Unplugged said, "You're welcome. Merry Christmas. May you know how much you are loved." That's bringing good news to the poor. And he's seen Benny now several times since then, and they've gotten into conversations. And right after Christmas, Benny actually came to his shop and thanked him for going out of his way, thanked him for making a difference in his life. I tell you this not so that we'll run out and be giving money to the homeless, but that we can figure out a way to help those who are poor. And if you want ideas, just look in our leaflet. Just ask any one of us. There's a million ways. I don't tell you that so that we just kind of make it pablum and make everything all right, but that we begin to really notice who needs us, who's grieving that needs comfort, who's going through a medical situation where they need help. That's also a metaphor of giving sight to the blind, healing the sick. So it can be both literal and figurative. It's our marching orders, too, from on high. In closing, the beautiful writing, just very brief, from a Presbyterian pastor by the name of Robert Breasley. And in light of Jesus having resisted the temptation and then declaring this ministry to all of us, he writes, "The Holy Spirit came and taught Jesus what was real. To say no to the false options and temptations in this world, and yes to God's good purposes for all people. To say no to self-glory in all its forms, and yes to helping the poor and the captured of all kinds. To say no to trying to get God to work for you, and yes, to you working for God with urgency and compassion." Let us pray the prayer we started with together. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our actions and let the Holy Spirit work through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.